Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
All right, good morning, church. Good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. This is awesome. We've shown up, grateful to have you here worshiping the Lord. Hey, there is some room that I see from my perspective. You can't see it from your perspective. And I just wonder if everybody could do that inch in to the middle, and then everybody can see the seats that are available on the sides. We've got some people standing in the back and who have stepped out into the hall to watch outside. And we just want to go ahead and let everybody in here that we possibly can. And it's a great day to celebrate. So thank you for being here. You who were dragged by your mothers, we're grateful that you're here. You who dragged your mothers to church today, we're grateful you're here to be in the house of the Lord and worshiping Him in strength. We have been studying about this moment in Scripture together as a church. It's a little more obscure than some of the Scriptures that we would look at, but we've been looking at how David, King David, brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem in the middle of 1 Chronicles. And so we're on to that part where the Ark has been brought into the city of David, Jerusalem, and now the Ark is there, the presence of the Lord is there, and what we see is the people start to erupt in songs of praise. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 16. At verse 7. Oh, I should probably also name the other elephant in the room, which is this bad boy right here, because we've lost a lot of seats too, because we have a baptism happening at the end of the service and an immersion baptism, which is totally within our theology and practice. We just don't do it all that much. But it's totally within what we believe, and we're really excited to have an immersion baptism. And we couldn't do that before until they invented these temporary portable baptismal pools, which we've got right here, and we are ready to rock. And we're excited about that. Some of you know we do this a lot, but we would always wind up sneaking across the street to the Baptist church, and then like, what are you Presbyterians doing in here? But we get to celebrate together today. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16, as we open to that, let's open our hearts in prayer. Lord, have mercy on your children here gathered. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your care for us, your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you love generation to generation. Thank you that you speak to us of all the things that are distracting us even now, of all the things that have distracted us through the week. Oh, Jesus, we need you to speak to us. We need your voice alone. So send your Holy Spirit. It's only by your Holy Spirit we can hear your word. Speak to us in joy. We can hear your voice full of grace and truth and believe in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16. That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and to his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You could hear that's a song, couldn't you? It's a song. It's a song. Sing to the Lord. Well, happy Mother's Day. I know you can't say happy Mother's Day back, so you're just like, what do I say to that? He's not a mother. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad to have the celebration of Mother's Day and to be gathered up and worshiping together. And I hope that all you moms got flowers. A lot of flowers. A whole bundle of flowers. More flowers than this church has ever seen. Did you hear what the pastor said last week about flowers? It was so rude. Ridiculous. So I hope that flowers have just been showering down on all of you. Flowers. We give thanks for our moms on Mother's Day. We're grateful for this God-given appointed role. We're grateful for the mothers in our lives. And as you can already see, did you love that praise band that was up here? Whew. So as you can already see, this is a Sunday that we take as a church to celebrate how the faith extends through generations, to celebrate, as it were, the motherhood of the church itself. Cyprian of Carthage said, "No one can have God for his father who has not the church for his mother." Have you ever thought of the church as your mother? John Calvin said the very same thing, and he expanded on it in his Institutes. He went line by line. This is how the church is your mother. Have you ever thought about that? How is a church our mother? Well, first of all, the church is where faith is born and reared. The church is where faith comes into being in the world. It's the generation of faith. Whether you met Jesus inside the walls, if you met Jesus outside of the walls of the church, nevertheless, that was an extension of the body of Christ, and it wasn't long before you're pulled into the local congregation of the faithful. To be a Christian is, by definition, to be a member of the body of Christ. The confirmation students that we celebrate, they are now members of the body of Christ. The church is where faith comes into the world. It's where it's born. The church is where infant faith, where baby faith is nurtured and cared for and fed milk and the simple things to help that little infant faith to grow. The church is where elementary faith, childhood faith is protected and is nurtured so that that faith can grow and become mature. And the church is where mature faith, and I'm not just talking years here, I'm not just talking gray hairs here, I'm talking quality of faith, where mature faith is ready to be set out on mission in the world with a purpose to glorify Jesus in this lost world. That's the church is your mother in that ideal way. And it's also the mother in the way that the church is where the injured and the hurting turn. You know, when a kid skins their knee and they run to their mother, the church is where the hurting turn and they find that embrace and that healing and that restoration. The church is where the wayward and the lost turn again from no matter how far they've wandered, and they turn again and they find a warm embrace, just like a mother, always ready with a warm embrace. You hope so, right? The church, the active church, the living church, the church that's moved by the Spirit of God, that's centered on Christ, the church has got to be this warm embrace of God, these arms. No matter how far you've gone, here you are, and you find the warm embrace of the church being restored. And as you're drawn close, you feel the heartbeat, and the warm heartbeat in the bosom of the church, it's joy. It's joy in communion with Christ. It's joy in the presence of the Lord. The warm heartbeat in the bosom of the church is worship. It's worship. Worship the Lord with me. Lift him higher. David installed worship in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Verse 7, that day David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give what? Praise to the Lord. To give praise to the Lord in this manner, it says. I want you to praise the Lord, and I want you to do it in this way. What had happened was the Ark of the Covenant had come into, there's all kinds of trouble with that if you want to go back to some of these other messages. The Ark of the Covenant came in, now it's there. It's in the city of God. It's been established. And what's happened is that by doing God's things in God's way, by honoring God in the way that God demands to be honored, by searching the Word and submitting to the Word and doing this according to the Word of God, well, something has happened. The city feels the presence of the Lord. The whole bowls, you can feel that God is in the streets of the city. It's palpable. And so what happens is the celebration erupts. The people just start singing. They just start responding to feeling that God is there, that God is with them. They start to worship. And God says to David in the spirit of his heart, he says, David, let's make this a regular thing. From now on, let's make this part of our life. Let's normalize coming into the presence of the Lord. Of all the things that get normalized in this world, let's regularize coming into the presence of the Lord and feeling his presence, feeling his heart, feeling his joy. And so he hired some people. He said, Asaph, put down what you're doing. You're going to do this now. You guys, you Levites, put down what you're doing for the rest of your life. This is what I've got for you. This is what you're going to spend your time doing. You're going to spend your time preparing to lead the people of God into a sacrifice of praise and worship. And he made music part of it, part of the life of the people of God. It wasn't going to be an odd thing that happened every now and then that an instrument popped out. No, when the people of God gather from now on, there's going to be noise. It's going to be raucous up here. We're going to bring the instruments that we got. What do you got? Bring it along. We're going to bring the very best that we have, the very best we have to offer, and we're going to train our kids to do the same. David himself wrote half the Psalms as worship songs. Did you know that? He wrote them, and you can tell because when you look in the Psalms, at the beginning of the Psalm, it says, now sing this according to this certain so-and-so tune. Which nobody knows what that tune is at all. But what we know is that he said, I want you to sing this, and I want you to sing it this way. Songs of praise. Give praise to the Lord, verse 8. Proclaim his name. Now this is our memory verse for this week. Would you read this with me? Verse 8. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And then this next one, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Give praise to the Lord, it says. Have you heard that so many times it's empty? Think about what that means. Give praise to the Lord. That means when you come into this place, when you come into the presence of the Lord, you come to give something. You come in here to worship God. Not to see what happens up here. You come in here to give, to offer a sacrifice of praise to the one true and living God who's worthy of it. You come in here to give worship. And in fact, as you walk in here, you think, well, I'm a little distracted by this. I'm a little distracted by that. It's not my favorite song. I don't like that worship leader. Look, don't let anything get in your way. You have come here to give praise to the one true God. Give him a sacrifice of praise. Do you hear? And here's what I want you to see. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Our proclamation is dependent on our praise. What we do for God depends on being the people of God who worship and glorify him. We think as Christians, yeah, maybe I should just, you know, what is church in our times anymore? Is it seriously going down to the church house? Could that seriously be it? Maybe being a Christian is just about, I just need my hour of God stuff a week, you know? Like I take my hour and the way I do my God stuff is I've got my outreach over here. I've got my evangelistic Bible study over here. I've got my group over here. I do that. I've got my service project, my place where I'm helping the people that are hurting in the world. So maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm just supposed to give, I need an hour of God stuff in my week just to keep that in my life. No, this says your proclamation is dependent on your praise. Your doing is resting off the back of your being the people of God. If you want to do what the church does in the world, you have to be who the church is. And who is the church? The church is the gathered people of God giving worship and praise to his name. And you think, well, maybe I can praise the Lord in all these activities. Well, the scripture clarifies it right there. What does it say in that next one, verse 10? It says, sing to the Lord. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Sing. And you might think, well, it sounds like I can do that on my own. I don't need to do that with a bunch of people because when I'm around a bunch of people, I realize I don't like people. Right? And, you know, Look, you can't do it on your own. All these verbs that we're reading, all these commands that the scripture is dropping on you today, sing to the Lord, these are all plural. We lose that in the English, and so we run off on our individualistic tangents. No, these are all plural. People sing praise. People proclaim his name. People praise the Lord. All you people gather together. We gather together and we praise his name. And even our gathering is a proclamation, but our proclamation is dependent on our praise. For you to bring glory to God in this world, you've got to be the people of God who lift up his name and worship his name. We gather together to worship the Lord God Almighty. And yes, we make a change. Yes, we make a sacrifice. We bring him a sacrifice of praise because he is worthy of it. And together as the children of God, together as the body of Christ, gathered as the brothers and sisters and the men and women of faith, together we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Amen. We praise the Lord. And we lift him higher. We lift him higher. Otherwise, we would forget. Glory in his name, verse 10. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord do what? Rejoice. 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 Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Glory in his holy name. Well, glory is usually a noun. That's usually something we talk about as well, there's the glory of the Lord. There's the glory of this, the glory of that. You know, the glory of the Denver Broncos. Whatever. I mean, I don't even know what's going on with the draft. Are we okay? Are we okay? I don't think so. Glory. Glory is usually a noun. It's usually something we talk about over there, the glory. Well, what if it's a verb? What if it's a command? To glory. What does that mean? If I tell you, get out of here and glory, what are you going to do? We're going to lift that thing higher. That's what you're going to do. You're going to prioritize it more. You're going to revel in it more. You're going to delight in it more. You're going to lift it higher. Glory. Glory. It means to lift it higher. And glory in what? Glory in his name. Well, what is the name of the Lord? What am I lifting up? What am I glorifying? Well, the name of the Lord is not just a word. It's not like Marcos or Tim or something. It's not just a word. It's not just, no, the name of the Lord is his reputation. It's who he is. It's his character. God has revealed his character, his very person to us. And that's what we lift up. God reveals himself to us, and we lift up what he has revealed. God says, I am holy, and we sing, you are holy. Why? Because our worship is us getting caught up in God's revelation of himself. God shows us who he is, and that bounces off of us, and we get caught up in singing who God is and in giving glory to God as we were made to do, and that rises up to God as incense of praise. That's why it says, turn to the Lord. Turn your face, seek his face. Why? Because your soul is a mirror, and where it turns, if you turn to the Lord, now you're reflecting his glory. And it's magnifying the name of the Lord. That's worship. That's why we look to the Lord. Worship is where those who seek the Lord rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because when you seek the Lord, you find the Lord. He will be found by you. If you will seek him, when you seek him with all your heart, he will be found. Those who seek the Lord, they find the Lord. Seek his face always. When we don't do it regularly, we fall out of the habit, and our worship practice atrophies like a muscle that we haven't used in a long time. But with regularity, patterning it in, we can do it again. And we don't forget the Lord, but we remember. You see, God is faithful to generation as faith cascades down from generation to generation. God is faithful. And we need to remember, but we often forget. Verse 12, what's that first word, church? Remember. Worship is about remembering. We get out of here. The minute we're out of here, our heads start getting spun. We start getting fog blown at us. We get voices coming in every direction. Every screen is showing us something else. Everything in our life is pulling us away from what we saw of the Lord in just that moment, just that glimpse of his kingdom. And we start to forget. We start to forget. And 6 days later, you've forgotten. And you come into the house of the Lord, and the people of God are lifting up the name of the Lord, and his word is clear, and his prayers are over you, and his spirit is present. You think, now I remember. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a son of the king. I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a daughter of Jesus. I'm a sister of Jesus and a daughter of God the Father Almighty. That's who I am. You forget. You forget. You're living in a world that wants you to forget. It puts you to sleep and it drags you away. You're living in a world that wants you to forget. We got to remember. 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 Come into the house of the Lord and remember. Remember the wonders he's done. Do you remember the goodness of God in your life? Do you remember a moment he did more than you asked or imagined? His miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You as servants, who's going to do the remembering? You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He's the Lord our God, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We got to remember the Lord. Listen, who's going to do the remembering? You are, the people of God, the Christians. Listen, I've said this before. If you don't lift up the name of Christ, don't wait for the world to do it. If you don't stand up as Christians, as those saved by his grace, and say the Lord is worthy of praise, don't wait for that to come out of Hollywood. Don't wait for the Ivy League to come to that conclusion. You hear me? Don't wait for the government to pass a program to lift up the name of the Lord. Are you hearing me? You're it. I'm it. In this time, in this place, in this lost earth, if the children of God don't rise up and remember the goodness of God and proclaim to this world who he is, no one else is going to do it. Who's going to do it? The children. Remember, because we forget. But do you know who remembers? He remembers. Next. He remembers his covenant forever. God doesn't forget. God remembers the promises he's made for 1,000 generations. Generation after generation. Do you know, church, that's why we celebrate today how God's moving into the generations. That's why I want you to know we're a church that's a 5-generation church. That's a lot. A lot of churches don't do it that way. They say, we got to focus in on this generation. We got to get market research to target into this generation. We got to get, if you know, we got to get the 30s, right? We got to get the 60s. We got to get the 20s. We got to focus in. We got to do market research just to target in. And a lot of churches don't bring the kids in to worship. They say, look, here's a good deal for you. Well, get your kids out of your hair so you grown-ups can go into the worship space and do your business with the Lord. And you know, we don't do that. Why? Because the best way to raise up faith in the rising generation is for them to worship together with us, together in the same place, for us to be 5-6 generations deep. That's the best way to pass on faith. But you know what? I know that's hard. In other churches, they'll take your kids and get them out of your hair. Glory to God. You know, I know. Because it's hard to keep your kids behaving and stuff and keep your kids doing the right thing and not making noise. Here's what I want you to know. 2 things to encourage you. Number one, me and everybody up here, we love when your kids make a ruckus in the house of the Lord. I love to hear kids messing around. I love to hear it. You don't believe me? Believe me. I love it. Kids, are you here? Where's the kids? Say hi.
Hi.
We love when you're it's hard to keep you doing the right thing all the time. I know that's hard, you know, but we love having you here because the Lord is showing you stuff and you're learning stuff and we're learning stuff from you. And that's the church. That's the 5-generation church, the faith cascading down through the generations. We love that you're, don't worry about it. We got speakers, we got screens. Nobody's going to get lost, you know. We love when there's noise in the house of the Lord. Break something, make a mess. Amen. 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 And second, parents, you know, I know you're tempted to say, look, I wish I could go to one of those churches to get my kids out of my hair. I just want to encourage you. It feels like a lot, but this is a season, and it goes by, and it actually goes by fast. And you're going to be so glad that you worshiped with your kids, that you had them at your side. It goes by like that. Worship the Lord together. God is faithful generationally. God is also faithful geographically. In ancient times, people worshiped false gods who were located in certain places. That's not the one true God. God is everywhere. He is everywhere that you could possibly go. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it. When the people of God were vulnerable and scared and small in a big, nasty world, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, and he allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. What I want to say is, you graduates, you fellows, anybody who's taken that next step, you preschool graduates, you confirmations kids who are becoming members of this church, look, wherever you go in your life, any of you that are taking a next step, it doesn't matter where you go, the Lord will be with you. Everywhere you go, for all of your life, he'll be with you. He'll be present to you. He's faithful through generations. He's faithful wherever you may go. How important is worship? How important is worship? Can you tell this is a series about worship? And can you tell it matters to me? How important is worship? It's so important that Satan thought it was his strongest run at tempting Jesus off track. When Satan tried to get the Son of God to lose his way, what did he say to him? He said, you know, Jesus, stop worshiping your Father. Why don't you worship me? Or, you know, even if that doesn't feel so good, just worship something else. Worship anything. I mean anything. Just don't worship God. Don't worship God. I want you to worship something else. Worship anything at all. It'll be so much easier for you. It'll be so much more comfortable for you. That worshiping God, that might work for others. It's not for you. It's not for you. No, step away from that. Worship anything else in the world. Just don't worship God. And what did Jesus say? He turned to Satan and he looked him in the eyes and he said, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written." Say this with me, church, and let the streets hear you. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How important is worship? Worship the Lord your God. Worship the Lord your God. What that tells you is that when you worship the Lord, every other temptation starts to fade away. When you seek his face, when you lift him higher, everything else just starts to fade in comparison. When you lift up the glory, when you glory the name of the Lord, you think of these temptations, you think, what is that? What is that compared to the glory of the Lord? Turn to the Lord, look to the Lord, seek his face always. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Do you know that song? And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Lift him higher. But we would see Jesus. Where's Jesus on this page? You know, the parents, the moms who dragged you here, they dragged you here because they want you to see Jesus. The kids who dragged their moms here, they dragged you here because they want you to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, his name's in the last verse of this passage. Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his, what's that word?
Salvation.
Salvation day after day. Salvation in Hebrew is the word Yeshua. Yeshua, have you ever heard that? It's the Hebrew name of Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord all the earth, the soil, the stones, the very creation that God made. Sing to the earth, sing to the Lord all the earth. The very purpose of what is, the very purpose of creation is to bring glory to God, to sing to God, to praise the Lord, to lift up his name, to lift him higher. It's the very purpose of all that exists and you in it. And Jesus, he said, when the Pharisees were saying, you better tell those people to be quiet because they're claiming that you are the Messiah, the anointed one who's coming into Israel. And you better tell them to shut their mouths and to stop singing praise to you. And what did Jesus say in Luke 19? He said, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the what? The stones will cry out. I don't think he was joking. I don't think he was exaggerating. I don't think this was an illustration for effect. I think Jesus was saying, if the people of God stop praising my name, if the people of God give up on worship, if they stop singing of Jesus, I'm telling you, the very soil's going to start to sing. Creation's going to take over because there is no other reason for all of this to exist but to glorify the Lord God Almighty. Why don't we jump in? Sing praise to the Lord. Give glory to his name. Worship. See what it does to your heart, what it does to your soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship seeks the Lord, and worship finds the Lord. Worship glories in the Lord, and worship proclaims the Lord. Proclaim, sing to the Lord. Proclaim Yeshua. Yeshua. Say that with me. Yeshua. Proclaim Jesus day after day, generation after generation. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Church, that's my last message for you for a little while. If you didn't catch my video or hear about this, I'm stepping off after the end of the service into a 12-week sabbatical. And that's something that I and the elders have been planning for almost a year. I've reached the 7-year mark as your pastor. I've been in ministry 24 years, and I'm really grateful for a time to step away and refresh. But I want to say a few things. Number one, I want you to understand, I am not running from you. I'm not running from this church. It's actually really hard to step away. But it's right, and it's good. Why? Because three things. Number one, it's good for the church. It's going to be good for you to see that this is a mission of Jesus Christ, that he has called you to pursue. It's not a mission of Tim. It's not about the pastor. It's about Jesus. Amen? Second, it's good for the staff, the leadership. They're going to step up. They're going to preach. You're going to have some very special guest preachers through the course of the summer, too. I'm not going to tell you when they're coming. That's like Easter eggs. You got to find them. But the rest of the time, you're going to have our very special preaching team that's right here. And they're growing and developing, and they're going to be offering the word and leading you on this mission. And number three, yes, it's good for me. It's good for my family to step out and to have a season of rest, refreshment, restoration in the Lord. And so I'm grateful to you as a church for the way you carry and care for your staff. I'm grateful for the time to be with my family and to seek seasons of refreshment in the Lord. I'm excited about the next chapter. And here's my last thing I want to say. This is not a time to take a break from church. Have I been clear enough about that over the past few weeks? This is a time to make a change, to offer a sacrifice of praise. You get into the house of the Lord and you worship the Lord with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your might. You love the Lord your God with everything you've got. You bring every gift, bring every talent. This is not time to lean back. This is time to lean in, First Pres, and to be the mission, the people of God that Jesus Christ has called you to be in this place. And I know that if you do, and when you do, that when I get back, when I come back into this house on August 7th, I'm going to find that this isn't a special case. I'm going to find that actually they're going to be saying, Tim, we've got a problem. People are standing in the back of the worship center. I'm going to find that this church is stronger and more devoted and more faithful to the mission of Jesus Christ that he has called us into together than it was when I left. I believe that. I believe that. Woo! Amen. Amen. Get on it, would you? Worship the Lord. I would ordinarily pray right now. Pastor Dave is going to come up and offer a time of prayer. And we've got a lot to do yet in worship. So change your brunch plans. But so grateful to be with you.
Well, friends, God has ordained this moment for us. If you think about creation for a moment, God said, there's a time for you to work. And he also said, there's a time for you to rest. And so Tim and Abigail and the family are going to enter into a 12-week season of rest and reflection and joy and travel and have some great times together. And it is our privilege. Oh, hello, Matt. I'm thinking, what's going on? Okay. All right. Let's see. What was I saying before I was so rudely interrupted? Anyways, it's our privilege to bless Tim and Abigail and the family and to pray for them and to really commission them into this important season. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up, if you would. And I'd like for you to extend your hands toward Tim, sort of a virtual laying on of hands. And then let's join together as our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for Tim. Gracious God in heaven, what a joy it is to be gathered together to worship you today. What a joy it is to know that you have called each one of us by name into this place for this holy and sacred moment. And we are so thankful for Tim and Abigail and for their kids. And we pray, Lord, that as they embark upon this sacred and holy season, that this would be a time of rest, of refreshment, of confirmation about your call upon their lives. How thankful we are that you have called the McConnells to First Pres, and we've seen your hand at work through their ministry. And Lord, we trust you greatly for the future so that we would see even greater things, more lives transformed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is our prayer, Lord, that you would bless Tim as he commences this journey of reflection and this season of rest. We pray for safety as they travel. And we would pray, Lord, for your church here at First Pres, that we would be faithful, that we would be filled with your Spirit, and that we would remember that Jesus alone is head of the church. And so to that end, Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, and we commit Tim and Abigail and the entire McConnell family to you for this season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres, Colorado Springs.